Beyond Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What is happening? Welcome to the Locked On Pistons podcast, your episode for Thursday, April 19th, and a Detroit radio icon joining us today on the missteps of the Stan Van Gundy era. This is your boy Matt Shook, an AP writer here in Chicago covering the NBA, sports newspaper reporter for over a decade as well. And today we're going to be running down Wednesday's action from the NBA playoffs and look ahead to tonight as well. And then we'll be talking to Mike Stone, Stoney of 97.1 The Ticket, on what ails the Pistons these days. Also talk a little bit of 76ers with the Philly native, along with a little bit of Bruce Springsteen. And look, if I ever have a guest on this show who is a big Boss fan, we're going to talk about it. That's just how it is. So I'm going to give him a Bruce Springsteen question in addition to his sports expertise as well. And then we're going to have another segment of Today in Pistons Playoff History. We're going to look back because we have nothing to talk about now in terms of Pistons playoffs of the present and really of the future either. So we're going back to the past a little bit. But before we get into the hoops, some sad news for from the NBA on Wednesday is Erin Popovich, the wife of Spurs coach Greg Popovich, passed away on Wednesday after a long and previously publicly undisclosed illness. Very sad. Not much else to say. This is a guy who, in Greg Popovich, who is using his platform for what he thinks is right. And there's a few things about Pop that I'm not crazy about, even though I align with him, you know, politically and a lot of the things that he talks about as well. But certainly a guy whose background and success in the league are things that you can't argue with. The culture that he's built and the team that he has is pretty much the envy of the NBA. And I know it's strange to sound like I'm eulogizing the surviving spouse of the couple, but obviously we don't know much about Aaron's life. But from the little that I've heard, just a solid person too, and really nice to see the tributes for Greg Popovich and his wife coming from NBA players such as LeBron and Kevin Durant on Wednesday as well. So from the Locked On Pistons podcast, and I think I can safely say that I'm speaking for the Pistons Nation, even though we've been through some wars with the Spurs and Greg Popovich over the years too, I think I can say safely that Popovich, Greg, is in our thoughts and his family and the entire, you know, Spurs organization. We've all been there dealing with death to one degree or another, and it just gives those of us that are still living the reminder that, you know, it's a short ride and let's be good to each other and make it meaningful along the way. But awkward transition back to hoops here. The two teams that I picked even up the series, their serieses, or I don't know how to say the plural of series. Is it Siri? I don't know. But on Wednesday, they got those wins while another is likely sweep bound as we expected. But the Cavs evened up their matchup with Indiana with a 197 victory at home. I told you yesterday that the 8-point line in Cleveland's favor was a bit excessive, and I was right. And that was even before Victor Oladipo knocked down a three at the buzzer to make it a 3-point game in the final score. LeBron, he was a monster. He had 46, 12, and 5. Scored the first 16 points of the game for the Cavs, had 29 at halftime. A couple revelations I had during this game. I know that a few days ago that I did pick the Cavs to win the East. I really don't think that this is happening anymore. And I just, the supporting cast is just not good at all. I didn't get a lot of looks at the Cavs late in the season. Obviously, I was reading a lot of the headlines and some of the articles about the defensive problems with the team. But, you know, they haven't been horrible defensively. It's the offense that's been a problem. Kevin Love isn't the number two guy that he needs to be for this team right now. I don't know that they get through this series, and I think they do. You know, if I had to say, I think they do get through this series with Indiana. But if they do, I think they lose to Toronto next round. And I don't think Toronto's this great team or anything like that or a true championship contender. But, I mean, I just think Toronto has to win that series, or, man, that would be a bad look for the Raptors right now. The other revelation that I had, obviously connected to this, if somehow LeBron James gets this team to the finals, then this might be his finest accomplishment yet. And I know as Pistons fans and as a Pistons podcast, we're probably supposed to rip on LeBron or be those haters of LeBron, but you're not going to get it from this corner. For me, I'm just a guy who appreciates this guy and is enjoying the ride of the LeBron James experience. And again, one of those things that's been nice for the Pistons to be so bad for the past 9-10 years or so is that there's really no rivalries. You can kind of appreciate hoops for right now for what it is. Even if the Cavs get to the finals and get swept in like two games by Golden State somehow, that the they just stop the series if Houston just beats them in a game and a half or something like that. Just an amazing thing to be able to drag this Cavs team to the finals. We will see. Maybe the book of LeBron continues to be written as time goes on. But speaking of evening it up, the Utah Jazz did just that, 102-95 over the Oklahoma City Thunder on Wednesday. Donovan Mitchell had 28, including 13 in the fourth quarter. Again, another name that I'm sure makes Pistons fans sick to their stomach, make them want to puke sometimes, but a guy that I appreciate watching. And good thing Luke Kennard's a pretty good player, or else that would be a complete and total disaster for the Pistons. And I know there's some of you out there who think it already is. You make a pretty good point if you were one of those people as well. 20-16 for Derek Favors. And hey, a power forward. Maybe an encouraging sign for the Pistons that this position can still be effective in today's NBA. Carmelo Anthony missed a couple big shots, three-pointers in the final minute. It's got to be tough for Russell Westbrook to watch that. And I do feel bad for him in that situation. Melo is pretty cooked right now. I'm not the only one who's come to that conclusion. And Russ just has to kind of defer to him. And in addition to Paul George, who's obviously a much better player than Carmelo Anthony right now, I think we'll see Russ kind of revert to last season's Russ and playoff Russ if this series continues to be tough. And that will be another interesting plot line as the first round series has come to the end. First round series come to the end here soon. Houston, of course, handled business 102-82 against Minnesota. You couldn't quite make this line high enough for me, and they certainly covered the 10.5-point line with ease. Chris Paul had 27, Gerald Green 21 off the bench for the Rockets. Houston wins a playoff game against a desperate team by 20 points with James Harden going 2-for-18 from the field, so an impressive one for them. Tonight, the Philadelphia 76ers in Miami with one of the more interesting series right now, 1-1. Philly favored by 1.5 in that game on the road, a 7 o'clock game on TNT. Portland is going to be back in the Big Easy against New Orleans in a series that they trail 2-0 to Anthony Davis and the Pelicans. Portland desperate, but 3-point dogs on the road against the Pelicans. Give me the Blazers and the points there, by the way. That's my one call for tonight's action, a 9 o'clock tip on NBA TV tonight. And Golden State is at San Antonio for Game 3. Golden State 3-point favorites on the road there. Should be an emotional night in San Antonio, obviously, a 9:30 game in Texas this evening. After the break here, we're going to talk to Mike Stone of 97.1 The Ticket about the Pistons, his prediction on whether Stan Van Gundy comes back, and where this team is headed right now. We're also going to talk a little bit of 76ers and the boss, Bruce Springsteen, all that good stuff with Stoney. But if your company wants to reach men between the ages of 18 and 44, then you should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if that's the demo you want to reach, this is your spot. Plus, reasonable rates. So email me at matt_shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, @yahoo.com to find out more.
Yes, sir!
And now we're being joined by Michael Stone of the Jamie and Stoney Show on 97.1 The Ticket, 6 to 10 a.m. on weekday mornings in Detroit. What's up, Stoney? Thanks for joining us.
How you doing, Matt?
Real good, thanks. Now, pretty bleak times for Detroit sports. Now, do you find yourself looking at Jamie at pre-prep show mornings and thinking, you know, what are we going to talk about today?
Yeah, well, we usually do that stuff via email the night before, so we have a decent idea. But yeah, it's tough. It's depressing. I mean, when you look at some of the other cities, and obviously most people know I'm from Philly, and you see what they're going through, and in Boston and, you know, other towns, you know, it's an exciting part of, you know, the sports life. April in the D is nothing in the D right now, and that's a problem. You know, all we have to do is look forward to a week from Thursday, the NFL draft, baby.
Yeah, I'm guessing a lot of hot NFL draft talk going on. The radio waves, like you said, with not much else going on with the teams that should be in the playoffs year after year. But talking Pistons here, as this drags on with the meeting, supposed meeting coming up between owner Tom Gores and Stan Van Gundy, do you get a sense that as it drags on and no news comes out, that Stan Van Gundy is probably going to be sticking around?
Yeah, I think it is an indication. And unfortunately, I believe that's what's going to happen. Look, I personally, and a lot of people in the media and, you know, some fans who are not, you know, Trump loyalists, really like Stan Van Gundy. He's honest. He speaks his mind, and that stuff is really good for the franchise. But, you know, that stuff aside, the team is, you know, the record speaks for itself. They've been in the playoffs once since he's been here. They haven't won a playoff game. And he's made a series of awful moves, draft choices, you know, between passing on Donovan Mitchell and, you know, Devin Booker. And, you know, look, he's made some good trades, too. I mean, Reggie Bullock and Marcus Morris, that was a good trade. I thought getting Tobias Harris, that was a good trade. But the Blake Griffin trade, just coupled with the Drummond contract and even the Reggie contract to a lesser degree, puts this team in such peril of, like, you're looking there saying, well, how can they get any better for a while? And they can't. That's the thing that's awful. So I think if you're Gores, if you have any sense of, you know, responsibility and all that stuff, you listen to Arn tell them, I would assume they're saying, look, we got to make a change. Then again, I don't know, what else can you do? I don't think anybody else is going to come and can't do anything really with the roster that's already been there. So you figure, all right, let's just let Stan try to coach his craft, basically, and then we'll get somebody else at the end of the year.
Do you think there is, looking ahead with that roster, assuming Stan gets back, you look at the Reggie, Andre, Blake trio there, do you think that there's a way to make that work basketball-wise on the court with those three as far as a core going forward?
It can work as far as, I don't know, getting a middle-of-the-pack Eastern Conference seed and maybe winning a playoff round. But, you know, that those three, unless they can somehow get lucky somehow and the lottery ping-pong balls and they don't lose their pick this year and they get some, that's the only hope that they have, because those guys, especially, you know, Blake, he's not getting any younger. I mean, he's already been in the league for a while, you know? And you have Andre, I give him credit for the most part. He had a pretty good season. He proved in a lot of areas, obviously, including free throws. I'm just not a Reggie Jackson guy. I just don't think, you know, when you have, if you're big three and two of those three are not top five at that position, then that's really not a big three now, is it?
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Stoney, you've been in Detroit a long time. You're familiar with, you know, the Detroit Pistons culture and all that. Is there, as we look back on the Stan Van Gundy era, and you talked about it, no playoff wins, one playoff appearance in 4 years, is there something that we can pinpoint that he just didn't do correctly in terms of building this team, or he just didn't get about this, maybe this town or maybe this this franchise in particular, to get things going in the right direction?
Well, I think he had the culture. I mean, he did, before this season, he talked about trying to, you know, do things like the 04 team did. You know, he knew you have to have stars. Look, you can argue back and forth whether they should have gone in tank mode, you know, for a few seasons like Philly did. I don't, you know, that looks good now, but as mediocre as the Pistons were, in hindsight, maybe it would have been the right thing to do because, you know, they were irrelevant anyway to a lot of fans. I just think the Drummond extension was really bad. And, you know, he should know because when he coached Orlando, he had, you know, guys like what, Rashard Lewis shooting threes. He always, you know, he loved the three. But they could never get anybody who could really shoot it that well, you know, especially a big guy. That's what he wanted. I maybe he thought John Lohr was that. You know, they never got there, I don't know, Ryan Anderson or somebody like that. They never built the team. You know, here's a guy who really wanted shooters, and the best shooter in the draft the year they got Stanley Johnson was Devin Booker, and he didn't get him. And so this year he said, okay, we need a shooter. They drafted Luke Kennard, so I understood it, but when it was pretty obvious that Donovan Mitchell was the best basketball player available at that time. And look, well, people, you know, for a while, I'm not going to be stupid. We got into this team at different parts during the Van Gundy era, you know, when he said, I don't know what I can say on podcast, build a freaking wall. You know, people love that stuff. When they went into San Antonio, even this season, you know, they beat Golden State on the road, and that game when they beat Boston early in the season in Boston, people were really starting to get excited. And even before, and then, you know, also Reggie got hurt. It was even before Reggie got hurt that they started to slow down a little bit.
I agree with that, Stoney. That's a point I've made on the podcast, too, is that, you know, it just to package this as, well, Reggie got hurt, and that's why we struggled throughout the year, I think is a little too convenient of an excuse for how things went downhill very quickly there in November and December. But, Stoney, as you mentioned, you're a Philly guy. through and through. And what are you, where are you at with the 76ers right now? 1-1, Joel Embiid's on social media, you know, complaining about not being allowed to be back into the lineup. Do you think that this team is ready to make a long run already, or where are you at with the 76ers right now?
I look, my friends and family, you know, we're going to the Eastern Conference Finals. We you know, we're going to be, nobody in the East, it's going to be tough for anyone in the East to beat us. And my reaction is, let's pump the brakes. Yes, they have Redick. Yes, they have Bellinelli, and they have, you know, Ilyasova. But this is a pretty young team, obviously, with very little playoff experience except for those three guys. And the playoffs is a different animal. Teams play a lot better defense. And you saw that in the second game against Miami. Even the first game, you know, he led at the half, or at least was close to the half, if my memory's correct. So I'm not ready to say, oh, my God, this team is going unbelievably crazy. They're going to get to the NBA Finals. If Embiid comes back, which I assume he will late in this series, yeah, they can make a run, because when they're playing good, they are great, because Simmons is the best player on their team. I'm not ready. I still believe in the old-fashioned, you got to, you know, the Pistons had to beat the Celtics. The Celtics had to beat the, you know, I mean, the Pistons had to beat the Bulls. You know, the Bulls had to beat the Pistons, you know, that whole, you have to learn a little bit. And I don't think they've gotten to that. So if they win, you know, one series and are competitive in the second, most of Philly will be disappointed. I won't be.
Yeah, obviously you're playing with house's money as a Philly sports fan right now these days out in Pennsylvania. What's it like, you know, the Super Bowl, getting the big win there, and you know what it's like for Lions fans over the past 50-plus years here in Detroit. Can you tell us what it's like on the other side of that right now?
Well, the Eagle, I mean, I went to the game, and it was incredible. I've been here so long, I kind of, you know, root for the Detroit teams over the Philly teams now, which is kind of weird, but it's true. But so, I mean, I was glad they won. I was happy. I didn't go completely crazy. I was very happy for my longtime friends and my family who have, you know, at least they've seen them in the Super Bowl. Granted, they lost two times before, but actually, because the Eagles are the team in Philly more than, you know, the other three. So to be part of that and be reflected, it was great. The parade was unbelievable from what everybody saw on television. And, you know, look, the fan base, they deserved it. They love their Eagles. And just like, you know, they hadn't won a championship since 60, obviously the Lions haven't won since 57. So someday, Matty, someday.
We'll keep hope alive here in the Detroit sports team. But maybe many of the listeners won't care, but me and you share another trait. We're huge Springsteen guys, so I have to ask. It is my podcast, so I have to ask. Are you going, or have you been to the Broadway show, and what's your count on how many concerts you've seen live at this point?
I'm approximately 125. And I went in November, and it was great. I mean, tickets are a little pricey. I didn't have to go to the secondary market, but the face value is still ridiculous. Thankfully, I didn't have the great seats. I didn't go for the 850 seats. They're still over $400 a ticket, you know. But it was, if you love Bruce, it was unbelievable. It was emotional. It was kind of funny. And I know people who went, you know, people on the East Coast just to, you know, see what it's like. And they even thought it was really, really good. So, yes, it's incredible. And I guess there's some tribute band playing tonight, Wednesday night or something, in Ferndale that I never heard of before, but I don't know if I'm going to go.
Yeah, your 125 puts my 5 to shame. But, Stoney, thanks for coming on Pistons
Matt,
podcast.
I'm old. I grew up in an area where he played a lot more, so that's all it is.
Yeah, you got the jump start on me, and plus I think Philly's is number two market behind Jersey, from what I understand. But Stoney, thanks for taking the time today. Michael Stone on Twitter. Yep, Stoney16, you can find him on Twitter, and Jamie and Stoney show every morning, weekdays, 6 to 10 on 97.1 The Ticket. Thanks, Stoney, for taking the time.
Thank you.
It's time for America's new favorite podcast segment, Today in Pistons Playoff History, April 21st, 2002. This is actually 16 years ago to the day on Saturday, and we got no new episodes coming out this weekend until Monday, so we're doing a little cheating here, and we'll do that for these last shows on the week sometimes.
But 2002, an 85-63 victory in the first playoff game of the going to work era. I consider the addition of Ben Wallace from the Grant Hill trade the beginning of the going to work era in my book. So the Pistons traded Grant Hill to Orlando at the end of the 1999-2000 season, as he was going to leave anyway. So it was a sign and trade that Joe Dumars had to do. Got Ben Wallace and Chucky Atkins in the trade. Considered salary throw-ins at the time to general manager Rick Sund for the Pistons. And now Ben, you can't overstate the importance of him to this franchise. Another guy who, in my opinion, in my book, has aged nicely over time. And I'll come clean. I don't know if I've talked about this before on the podcast. I actually wasn't as big of a Ben Wallace fan as many of you guys were out there at times. Pre-championship Ben Wallace, in an era where we were still trying to figure out the tinkers and the things that needed to happen for the Pistons to get there. I was frustrated with his lack of basketball skills. And I think back then I was a teenager. During some of these years, I was projecting a little bit because I could shoot and dribble a little, but I wasn't athletic or physical enough to be a good player. So guys who couldn't do the things that I could do frustrated me. Anyways, back to reality. The team won 32 games in the only season that the late George Irvin was the full season as coach of the team. But after that, so that was the first year in the post-Grant Hill era. And then they hired a young guy in Rick Carlisle for the following year. Went 50-32 to surprise the NBA. Carlisle coached just two seasons in Detroit, finished 50-32 in both of them. So in this first year, went to the playoffs, got the two seed in the Eastern Conference, and took on Vince Carter and the Raptors. Coach Lenny Wilkins, Mo Pete, Antonio Davis, Keon Clark, Alvin Williams, those were their main guys. The Junkyard Dog came off the bench for them, a former first-round Pistons pick there. Also, Hakeem Olajuwon in his final season at age 39, coming off the bench for the Raptors. Kind of sad there. This was the final season of the five-game first-round playoff CRI format. 20 from Jerry Stackhouse in game one win. 19 points and 20 rebounds from Ben Wallace on a Saturday night in Detroit. I wonder what an 18 or 19-year-old Matt Shook thought about that 19 and 20 that Ben Wallace threw on the Raptors there. Cliffy Robb and Chucky Atkins also started that game. Michael Curry started. He did not score. He played 15 minutes. A classic performance from starter Michael Curry. John Barry had 9. Zelly, I love that guy. And to all the cynical fans out there talking about these days, getting to the playoffs means nothing. I disagree. You get there, you build a culture, you make the moves to improve your team going forward. That's how it happens. That's how you build these teams. This wasn't a team full of great young stars that we could project were going to be winning a title 4 or 5 years from then, or lottery pick, you know, talents that were can't miss guys. This is how you do it. You start from the ground up. It's not being as bad as you possibly can and turning it around with big swings of talent. I know that Philly is that example that everyone talks about as the success story, quote unquote, of the process and tanking. It's the exception because they got a generational player in Ben Simmons who is terrific, and they took a chance on an injured guy in Joel Embiid that other teams didn't want in those first couple picks. And by the way, Joel, if you haven't noticed, missed his first two playoff games with an injury. So you build, you make moves, you establish the culture, you get some of those wins in the regular season, you get on a roll, you go downhill, you play some defense. That's how you do it. And that's what we got looking for Pistons fans. I think this is going to be a fun segment as we look back on some of these lean years. But the Pistons get the win on a Sunday night in the Palace of Auburn Hills, almost said downtown Detroit, but the Palace of Auburn Hills got the win on the Raptors and moved forward on today in Pistons playoff history. But give us a follow on Twitter. Let me know what you think at @Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, another underscore after that. Also on the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed. And like the Facebook page at Locked On Pistons-Matt Shook. Thanks to Stoney, Mike Stone for joining us. All those DFN guys from the old school are great. He's obviously on 97, won the ticket with Jamie in the morning these days. But thanks for listening, everyone. Enjoy the long weekend and all the basketball that it will bring, and we'll talk to you all again soon.